It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sometimes the ball finds you, sometimes it doesn't. Game plan to game plan. I know you guys love to talk about, look at the stat sheet and says who hasn't gotten the ball and who has. And then, you know, we get so enamored with that. It's the ball finds the guy that it's supposed to find. You know, the game plan has to help with that. But there's also a defense out there that sometimes determines where the ball is going to fall, right? Play in and play out, or in this case, pass to pass.
Jeremy and Joe, that's Bills head coach Sean McDermott. The ball finds who the ball's supposed to find. I'm sorry, I thought when you threw it to a guy a lot, that was forcing him the ball. Sorry, I can't stop. I can't, Joe. I can't do it. I can't stop. Hey, Scott Pianowski, Yahoo Sports, going to join us on the Western Hotline.
Look out for that snark cannon.
I was going to say, Scott, yeah. This may come as a great surprise. We've had you on Thursdays for, I don't know, like 8 years now. And for most of the last five, we've talked about wide receivers. That's pretty much what we do around here. And now Devontae Adams, I don't know if it's a Devontae Adams watch. I think we've decided it's a Devontae Adams watch. We've got reporting The Bills have inquired. We've got reporting they're monitoring the situation. We've had people crunch the numbers on how it could happen. And we've got a team that, I would say this, Scott, and you could speak to this. Outsiders look at the Bills and think, yeah, that team could probably use another receiver on the outside.
For sure. Yeah, I like everybody in the room, but is there a lead singer there? I'm not sure.
Well, what do you make of Adams and that offense? You know, we talk fantasy a lot, and the Raiders, they've got what going on? I mean, they've been a disappointment all over the place, whether it's Adams or is it Zamir White that's not really done that much. Brock Bowers has taken over as the alpha of that offense.
Little sleeper play on Trey Tucker.
Trey Tucker
hasn't been terrible, though.
He's had some success. Yeah. What do you make of what's happened in Vegas?
Yeah, I do like Trey Tucker in deep leagues, but it's not the team I thought it would be. I thought they'd be pretty good defensively. They have not been. Having Max Crosby hurt doesn't help. I thought maybe they would have an okay running game. Zamir White has not been good. Madison actually has been the better back. And Antonio Pierce, one of the more honest and blunt coaches in the league, has said that Madison needs to play more. Pierce also noted White lost a fumble last week. We know everybody hates fumbles, but some teams respond to them, some teams don't. I guess Ramondre Stevenson can fumble every game this year for New England. They're never going to bench him. But maybe the Raiders are going to do something different. But the funny thing about trades in the NFL during the season, because we obviously see a bunch of them in the pocket that they happen, you know, before the draft, free agency, all that period, players get moved all the time. But the NFL used to be a league where there were never trades in season. The teams were worried about, you know, it's going to be too hard to adjust and the player won't be useful for you and we don't want to take a chance and all that. And in recent years, that's changed a little bit. It's helped that they moved the deadline back. So there's a bigger window to find out who are you. You know, let's actually fall out of playoff contention before we start dismantling our team or trading big pieces and all that. But, you know, 5 years ago, this would just be a fool's errand. We talk about it and nothing would happen. But now that Adams is unhappy, Team isn't going anywhere. You know, I mean, Adams wanted the big contract. He wanted out of Green Bay at a time when he had it pretty good with Rodgers. I would say it's probably, I don't know, 80% he's traded. And I never would say that generally of an NFL, trade demand in season. Usually it's like, that's nice. It's not going to happen. This is a situation where there's smoke and I think there is fire.
What would you make of his fantasy prospects and value like right now? Thinking he's probably getting traded and you would think to a better situation, at least a better quarterback. But sometimes it's weird, Scott, right, with fantasy, like when a guy gets dealt middle of the season. So how hopeful would you be if you are an Adams owner right now that this is going to get, like, drastically better?
I mean, if we're redrafting, I probably wouldn't consider him in the first three rounds. He's hurt right now. They've already pretty much said he's not going to play in week five. Now, part of that may be the idea that when you have an asset you're trying to trade, you don't want him to get hurt or further hurt, so you protect that asset. That's common in every sport. But, you know, it wasn't that long ago that we used to actually be petrified when receivers changed teams in the offseason. And that got broken. Now, part of that, people will say, well, yeah, because they get traded and they, you know, it's a number two being asked to be a number one. It's a number three being asked to be a number two. They're being promoted in role. And then we saw a couple of years ago what A.J. Brown was traded to the Eagles. He was better. Tyreek Hill went to Miami. He was great. You know, Diggs went to Buffalo. You know, he obviously, you know, the honeymoon period for that was very good. So we don't really fear that anymore. But I worry about what team would he go to? What's the terminology? You might say, well, what if he goes to the Jets? He knows Aaron Rodgers and all that stuff. But, I mean, the Jets' offense doesn't look very fun right now. I mean, they haven't gotten Garrett Wilson unlocked. Can't really seem to get Breece Hall going either, which is an interesting story. The top three running backs in fantasy this year have all been disappointing for different reasons. But I would rather not have Devontae Adams be my problem. You know, if you could trade him in a fantasy league and get top three, top four round value and lock in a profit and not have to play. Is he happy? Is he healthy? Did he go to a team that's going to prioritize him? I think I'd rather have him. You don't give him away. I'm not certainly not saying cut him or trade him for, you know, trade him for something willy-nilly, but I'd rather not be in the Devontae Adams business, age 32 season as well.
Scott Pianowski, Yahoo Sports. Some fantasy chatter for you as we prep. Bills, Texans, a big one for, we've noted the irony of all the Adams stuff coming out for Diggs week for us. I mean, mm-hmm. Yep. In Houston, that's an offense. It's also been meh so far. And Nico Collins has been eating. Diggs has been getting his production. They finally get Tank Dell back. I don't know how many snaps they've played with all three guys, but the full boat of receiving weapons for the Texans. What do you think that looks like for them ultimately in the hierarchy? Because so far Diggs has been wide receiver too, while Dell has been banged up.
Yeah, if we redrafted, Collins would go in the first round. Diggs has returned his value. Dell was kind of running unlucky. He had a couple of near misses on longer passes. He hadn't scored a touchdown, I don't believe, but his usage and route participation and all that, his metrics, his peripherals, as you would say, were actually fine. I think Dell, if healthy, is a guy I would want to trade for right now. Dalton Schultz is just kind of a lesser light in this offense. And maybe Joe Mixon, you know, he's that huge first week. Since then, he's been hurt. I don't know that Mixon is necessarily – he's a support player in this offense. I don't think he's going to drive this offense. I think the week one just fell right for him. I don't want to come down too hard on Houston's offense because it's like how many offenses do you feel that great about right now?
Yeah.
Some offenses are just dead zones. And then some teams is like, well, we're going to give them a little bit of time. And then there's like teams like the Saints, when we think they're good, then they fall off and there's variance. You know, the Eagles are getting a bye at the right time. You know, there's only so many, like, you know, the Lions right now, it's like everybody seems to be producing. And even then, like, people who have LaPorta or St. Brown might be a little bit disappointed because the running backs are gobbling up all the touchdowns. But I feel like there's only maybe like four or five offenses right now. They're just, wow, this, the Washington of all people, who saw that happening? They've been a right answer. But Houston's closer to being a right answer than not. And I think they're going to, when they have the three receivers healthy, that may be this week. I still feel really good about Stroud. They kept the coordinator in Slowick, who I feel good about. I would think they would be a bankable 24, 27 points a game, and I think it's going to be a fun fantasy game. You have to just throw out the Buffalo-Baltimore result. You know, the previous week, obviously, the Bills did anything they wanted against Jacksonville. And I know they don't have, you know, Shakir and Keon Coleman and Samuel and Kincaid. They're all good players. Maybe there isn't, you know, that generational talent there, but I mean, Josh Allen, I believe in him. I believe in Brady. You know, Cook was playing well before last week. Every NFL team, it's a four-month season. There's going to be a couple of results that just don't make sense. Or it's like, wow, they really hit the low end of their range that week with a good offense like Buffalo. I think you just have to throw it out.
You mentioned Washington. I want to ask you, how real is Jaden Daniels' early output? I mean, historic. It's not just the rushing. I saw Nate Tice refer to him as fast Teddy Bridgewater, being complimentary. Like, Bridgewater was a good player, and here's Daniels with, he's got efficiency, he's got big plays, he's got the mobility. From a fantasy standpoint, I'll just flat out say it. I benched Josh Allen for Jaden Daniels last week, Scott, and that was the right call. And there are not many players you would play ahead of Josh Allen from a fantasy standpoint. How close to QB1 is Daniels, and how reliable is it?
Yeah, he's probably, I would think, top three quarterback going forward. And it has, I may have said this on the show before, it has all the RG3 feel. 2012 Washington team, it's down. It needs some reason to be hopeful. They hit on the right quarterback, a Heisman Trophy winner, a dual run pass threat. The thing that was important is that Daniels was an accomplished passer in college, that he obviously could run, but it wasn't that running was the only thing he could do. And I realized, you know, he was at LSU, where your Neighbors was an overlord. Brian Thomas would get all the separation, and both those guys have played really well. It's a really fun receiver class this year, of course. But he's, you know, I mean, he goes to Washington, but the only receiver we really jump up and down about there is Terry McLaurin. McLaurin's on pace to have his best season, and Cliff Kingsbury was a coordinator we really didn't trust in Arizona. It seems like he's hitting the right notes here. Now, we're going to find out what Daniels is much more in October, because the schedule gets a lot more difficult. He had a very favorable schedule in September, just teams that there wasn't an A-plus defense in the group, and now he's going to get some of those teams in October, where it's a much more difficult slate. But the game is in fast form. They have a lot of plays where he gets rid of the ball right away. He's not taking hits. The one thing you worry about with his frame, he still hasn't really kind of figured out when to give up on a run, how to slide, get out of bounds, and stuff like that. You don't want him getting hit constantly. That's been a problem with Anthony Richardson in Indianapolis. He keeps getting hurt, and it keeps happening on running plays because he's not really sure what he's doing out there. But and it's funny, Al Richardson was the one who was drafted all expectantly in fantasy this year. I saw some people thinking he could be the quarterback one, and here's Jaden Daniels having the year that a lot of people thought for Richardson. But I believe in it. If I were redrafting, I would have no problem making him one of those, you know, going where, I hate to say this, going where maybe Patrick Mahomes went in the preseason. I believe in Jaden Daniels, and this is a fun, and I talked about, it's a lot of offenses right now we can't trust. Washington, when I go to rewatch the games, I don't rewatch every game. I just don't have time to, but Washington's one of the first tapes I replay every week. It's like a treat, you know? It's like giving myself a dessert before I eat my dinner.
How about Nick Chubb right now? Practice window open. I mean, obviously you can't play him, but if you've held on to him, I know in our conversations in past, you're not one to bet on injuries and guys returning from injury, so who knows? But he's one of the best ever, you know? And I wonder what kind of ability he has. Some of these guys, when they come back from an injury, like Adrian Peterson was this, right? Mm-hmm. He was supposed to not be good anymore, and then he was good. And I wonder if you would hold out hope for Nick Chubb.
Yeah, Peterson won an MVP. Maybe had his best season after the ACL. Had just crazy. But modern medicine and the will of Peterson. I love Chubb. He's one of my favorite players. And, you know, probably a borderline Hall of Famer right now. Just needs maybe a couple more seasons of what he's done during his career to get in. But what is he stepping into? An offensive line that's beat up. A quarterback who's playing very poorly. I don't know what it would take to get Deshaun Watson benched. But, man, at some point I'd want to see DTR player Jameis Winston, anybody else. I'm also wondering how many more losses do they need before Amari Cooper's on the trade block. When he looked good, Kansas City could desperately use a receiver. They're not going to probably get Adams, but I think Amari Cooper to Kansas City would make a lot of sense. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want it to happen for Chubb, and I think it will next year. This year, my expectations are going to be very modest.
One must play. You might be about to bring this up, Joe.
Wandell Robinson.
Yes, Wandell Robinson, with Malik Nabers potentially not going against Seattle. I guess you could ask, if he's not going to get the gravity he would normally get over there, is Robinson a must start? But he gets open and he gets targets.
Yeah, in a horizontal passing game, right? Daniel Jones has just looked totally lost whenever they try to go downfield, but so many of those plays are snap the ball, you know, take a one-step drop and get rid of it, usually to Nabers, often to Robinson. Robinson, I believe, only has the one touchdown, but he's getting buried with targets. He's getting a bunch of catches. And what you're probably going to get is something like a 10-catch, 71-yard game, maybe not a touchdown, but as long as there's a PPR component in your league, that's fine. And you may think, well, if Nabers isn't playing, aren't the Seahawks going to conspire to make sure that, you know, Wandale Robinson doesn't beat them? Well, with the routes he's running, those are going to be there, right? I mean, you can't really stop a guy from catching a two-yard pass or a smoke route or something like that. It's not like he's running intermediate routes and stuff that you could prioritize. They'll probably be fine to give him. We see how everybody plays defense now. They give you short passes. They give you small gains, and they dare you to go down the field with 15 of those plays. So, yeah, Wandale Robinson has graduated from, you know, is he even draftable? Is he even playable? To like, yeah, he's like a top 15, top 20 receiver this week.
We've talked tight end weekly with you, Scott, just because it is a wasteland right now, and I think everybody is listening maybe desperately, like, give me somebody that is even a little bit hopeful. So for that, like, if you had whoever at the top that is disappointing you, like, is there somebody you're looking at right now that is on the uptick, or you think could be someone that is maybe close to breaking out or even just a good weekly play?
I am hoping, and I realize by now he's probably rostered in any competitive league, but I'm hoping what Tucker Kraft did last week is signal and not noise. He has 9 targets, 6 catches, catches a touchdown, and he catches a 2-point conversion. And I always care about those 2-point conversions because, you know, they're plays from the 2-yard line. I think they reflect future goal line equity. Jordan Love comes back. Christian Watson is hurt now. So a crowded set of pass catchers is now a little bit more tidied up. I'm at a point now where I would cut Kyle Pitts and Mark Andrews for Tucker Kraft immediately and not look back.
Cut them even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially Andrews. Pitts I would prefer not to cut. I would try really hard not to cut Pitts. And I would ask around if somebody wanted Pitts. I'm afraid it's over for Andrews. He's 29. Had a controversial surgery, was in a car accident. He's been a high attrition player his whole career anyway. Maybe likely is better. That team doesn't want to throw the ball. They will throw it if they have to, but they prefer not to. A lot of things. I mean, with Pitts, at least it's, you know, he's still their number one tight end. Maybe Cousins will start to play better. I can tell myself a more plausible story of Pitts coming back into relevance. So Mark Andrews come back into relevance. It's like, you know, how do I get to the ballpark? Okay, you take a left, you take a right, then there's a church, and then you take a U-turn. There's too many turns. You know, I don't operate that way. At least Kyle Pitts, who I'm still not hopeful about, at least his onboarding would be, it's a story I can tell because it doesn't have 17 parts to it. This is like some French movie that I don't understand. I don't know how Mark Andrews comes into our lives again.
I have him in a dynasty league where, like, I'm just crossing my fingers. Like, maybe he's just still banged up from the car accident and the surgery, and he'll get healthier, but there's no trend up on that. Like, he's still barely even out there running routes, let alone, you know, being on the field all the time.
And it's hard for everybody there. I mean, Flowers is getting 5 or 6 targets a week and likely hasn't done anything since that great week 1 on Thursday night, you know, the toenail game. He's been invisible, and even Justice Hill has become a mouth to feed. Who thought Justice Hill was going to catch 70 passes? But I guess that's the real thing. And Henry, great September for Henry, and we know the story of Henry. He gets better month by month. So they're going to just try to be the, you know, ground. They're a knuckleball team. I'm not surprised. They have that stat that the Ravens always win when they play NFC teams. It's because you don't prepare for a team like that because nobody else plays the way they do.
Yeah. I'm going to get to running back just quickly with you, Scott, and who the top guys are. Because running back, like, the way I always try to approach is I want to find the new hot guy that I can get maybe at a lower value, kind of steer away from the older names that have been around the block. And then this year, through 4 games, it's Alvin Kamara, Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley. Like, I don't know if that's something about the league or just those three specifically, the talent levels they are, but it none of those three would have felt like sexy picks, I feel like, in the offseason, and here they are as the best three running backs.
Right, we talked about McCaffrey, Hall, and Robinson with the top three backs, and they've all been disappointments for different reasons. What's so interesting to me is how many teams where the number two is outplaying the number one. Braylon Allen is outplaying Hall, and Algier has been more efficient than Robinson, and even to a lesser extent, Bucky Irving. They do different things, but he's probably been a better player than Rashad White. I think right now that's already a 50-50. Rico Dowdle looks like Dallas is back. I don't know if there's a big win there, but maybe Dowdle can be playable through the bye week season, which is upon us, and you know, the next couple of months we'll have to negotiate that. Madison, right? I talked about him. He's probably the guy with the Raiders, if that means anything to you. So there's a lot of teams. And then some teams are making both backs work. I mean, somehow every week in Detroit, Montgomery scores and Gibbs scores. I think there's only been one game where Gibbs didn't get in the end zone. Otherwise, they're getting all the touchdowns. It's hurting the production with the receivers, although they've still been good. What you want to, I realize everybody wants to do this, but what you want to do is your bench has to be a bunch of guys like Ty Chandler, like Braylon Allen, like Tyler Algier. You have to have all these speculative plays. Brian Robinson has been a right answer in Washington, but you know, if he does get hurt, would Eckler come into prominence? Jeremy McNichols out of nowhere, 29-year-old back, had some good run last week. I don't know where that came from, if it's repeatable or not. You know, maybe Ray Davis will be on some rosters. I'm really curious with Allen and Hall because Allen's been so much better. The Jets are only 2-2. They looked horrible. I mean, they should have beaten Denver, who couldn't do anything, and they couldn't finish that game off. And they're struggling to punch it in from short yardage. And I know Sal said the right stuff, you know, the endorsement of Hall and all that. But I feel like this is almost like a closer situation where whoever gets the next save might be the closer. They're not going to mothball Breece Hall, but I could see Braylon Allen being the first course of touchdowns.
Scott Pianowski, Yahoo Sports, for our weekly fantasy chat. Anything you like for tonight's game? Falcons and Bucks? I mean,
I'm starting Mooney.
I think I was going to say, like, I was looking at over-unders, and, you know, we put together a three-way parlay next segment, but Mooney, Bucky Irving. I mean, the Bucky Irving show is underway, right? Like, that was something that a lot of fantasy people had, that Rashad White was kind of a volume guy, but not that good, and here's Bucky Irving to take his job.
Yeah, you mentioned two guys I really like. Mooney basically never comes off the field in the passing downs, and participation is really high, and he's been under-rostered in Yahoo. We've been talking about him for a month, and yet he's still, I think, under 50% the last I checked. Cousins at least has started to play better, so I'll sign off on Moody. And, you know, London, he's getting six catches a week. He's been okay. He hasn't been a smash, but I would feel good about London as well. You mentioned Bucky Irving. The thing about White is he actually is a really good receiver, and he's decent in pass pro. I think this is going to be a 50-50 where Irving's been the better runner, much more efficient, making more splash plays. Even just the basic stats point to Irving on the ground. So I think both of those guys are going to play. What's been weird about that team is they have 11 offensive touchdowns, and 10 of them are tied to Baker Mayfield because it's been Mayfield who's punched in a couple of them, and you just don't think of Baker Mayfield as that type of player. So for fantasy purposes, we kind of hope, okay, the Baker, throw it to Evans and Godwin. Well, that's great. We appreciate that. Even Cade Otton, you want a sleeper tight end. Maybe Cade Otton can be that guy. I certainly would play him over Pitts this week. But hopefully the backs will start to get the touchdowns. I think that backfield is 50-50 going forward. I'm going to rank those guys right next to each other. I think they're both playable as lower-end RB2s, higher-end RB3s. And, yeah, Mooney. I think Mooney will get 70 yards tonight.
All right. Scott Pianowski. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, guys.
You can follow Scott on Twitter, and you see him all over the fantasy world. He is on Twitter at Scott_Piano, WSKI. Our Thursday three-way coming up. Don't steal mine, because he just said mine. Mine's going to be Darnell Mooney's over. His receiving over, do you know what the number is?
45.5.
46.5. Good work.
Yeah.
He's good.
I like a prop bets. 45.5. 46. Like,
listen, I don't need to die on a Darnell Mooney hill.
Yeah.
But what the Falcons are getting out of Darnell Mooney is what I think the optimistic Curtis Samuel people thought the Bills would get out of Curtis Samuel. Right?
Yeah.
Mooney was $13 million. That's not crazy high money. That's Gabe Davis money. A little less, actually, right? Maybe right in the same number.
About the same, yeah.
Mooney got 13, Curtis Samuel got 8. And
same as Gabe Davis, yeah.
Yeah. Mooney's good. That guy can play.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins throws to him a lot. I mean, he is the kind of receiver that, if you might think, I was tweeting about this and Mike Shope tweeted back at me saying that he thinks Curtis Samuel's a better player. Like, sounds great. Get him the production that Darnell Mooney is getting.
Mooney, though, the thing about I like about Mooney is someone you line up on the outside, and he's a good route runner. Not going to tell you he's like one of the best, but he's a good route runner, and he's fast. Like 4.38 speed.
Yeah.
Like, he is a downfield threat. I like the player. He is not, you know, like, this is like a Gabe Davis point. When I saw those two players sign for the same amount of money in the offseason, I'm like, oh, Mooney is the 10 times better idea. Mooney is faster. Mooney's a better route runner. Mooney is going to get open more often. Mooney does not block. So it depends if you care about that or if you think you have somebody else to do that. But in terms of getting open and catching the football, yeah, Mooney's a good player. By the way, lastly for fantasy, keep in mind to set your lineup before 9:30 this week. 9:30 a.m. on Sunday.
Right, right.
Early morning lineup set. Don't be the guy that's caught there at 9:42 in the group chat going, oh, I forgot to bench whoever that might be missing this game.
Jalen Naylor? Who's the guy? What's his
name? Jalen Naylor. He's the number... Well, no, Addison's back, right?
Yes.
Okay. So Naylor's the number 3 in Minnesota.
We'll get a break in. We have declared Devontae Adams watch. Too much reporting. Diana Rossini saying the Bills are monitoring it, along with the Chiefs. So, welcome to Devontae Adams watch. It's a lot like the other ones. We'll see if this one actually brings a result. This brought to you by Odell Beckham Jr. and DeAndre Hopkins. And has anybody else been in that mix? I don't think so.
There was a Justin Jefferson note from Matt Collar in the offseason, wasn't there?
Yeah, right. All right, break time, then our Thursday three-way.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.